Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. It is time for the fastest 2 hours in sports radio. You bet. Welcome in Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Going to take you through the next 2 hours. There are many different ways to connect, and we'd love to hear from all of our audience. We've got some new affiliates at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And thank you for joining us. What a great way to kick off your Saturday morning. Also, a big thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Larry Miller will be joining us in Hour 1, former PGA Pro. Also, Bill Rosinski, Hour 2, PGA Tour Radio. And Dustin Johnson's swing coach. He has had a phenomenal year, so we want to hear from Alan Terrell. We also will get you ready for the slate of games in Week 1 of the NFL on Sunday. Jordan Black, 10-year pro, NFL alum, will be joining us and kicking off our program. And also some college football with Seth Emerson from The Athletic. But we are excited to have with us in studio this morning and open up the mic my favorite producer, and that is Jack McGraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at JackMC15. Did I get that right?
You did. Very good, Alyssa.
Okay. Well, listen, it's good to be back. And let's start off the program with some NFL talk. It is Week 1. Patriots-Dolphins, Sunday noon Central Time kickoff. Is he talented enough to carry the Patriots?
Not only do I think he's talented enough to carry the Patriots to victory over the Dolphins, I think he's talented enough to lead the Patriots to the AFC Championship.
Wow, that is a bold prediction. But I also just have to wonder, I mean, this is a brand new season, a new system. How quickly will it take for Cam to adapt to Bill Belichick's, you know, system?
I think Bill Belichick's system will be easy to learn for Cam Newton, because I think Bill Belichick is actually adapting his system to fit Cam Newton's play style, because Tom Brady was always an under-center quarterback who couldn't really be mobile, whereas Cam Newton, you know, injury permitting, could be a very mobile quarterback and really open up that offensive options.
Okay, getting you ready for the big game on Sunday, Patriots-Dolphins. The Dolphins certainly had a very busy offseason, and so you have to really think perhaps they're about a year away from contention. You know what? The NFL conversation is going to continue. NFL alum Jordan Black will be up next. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back on this Saturday morning, coming to you from Houston, Texas. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And you know what? The wait is over. The 2020 NFL season, it is back, and we are ready for this very unique year during this pandemic. In our next segment, we are going to preview what we can anticipate and some of the bold predictions. So we are delighted to have back with us former NFL offensive tackle, a 10-year pro. Also, he is the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy in Sugarland, Texas. And that is the great Jordan Black. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Alyssa.
It's great to have you on, and we are ready for some of your predictions with the start of the brand new season being here. But first of all, let's step back just a moment. I mean, what do you think will be the biggest challenge for the league that players and teams will face?
No, man. So not to take a position one way or the other, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the fan base will react to a hyper-political league. And it's not just the NFL. It's NBA. It's Major League Baseball. you know, it's hard enough dealing with the pandemic and not having fans in the crowd, but they're also going to find out whether or not their fan base appreciates their political views or not. I have a feeling most people are looking forward to enjoying some sports without politics. We get plenty of that everywhere else. So that'll be interesting, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so you talk about the dynamic with the politics, but I have to wonder from a player's perspective, and you can give us some insight on this. I mean, you'd never experienced this, but what about the impact of not having a preseason?
Well, you know, that's exactly what you do in college. You get about 2 or 3 weeks to get prepared, and then all of a sudden it's week one and you're playing football. So I don't think it's a foreign concept to these pros. You know, it may be that the college guys being used to it already, I mean, they might be ready to go day one. I think some of the older vets, you know, they're removed from going right into the season. But overall, I don't necessarily think it will be an issue. I think with not having a preseason, the cuts that coaches made, there's probably more uncertainty there than there usually is as to whether or not they got the right players.
Right. But as a head coach, I mean, what do you do to accelerate, I mean, their development, the team meshing, coming together, and to get everybody on the same page? Because as we're talking about, I mean, you don't have a preseason, but you've got to be ready to go from day one.
Well, the thing with teams coming together, I mentioned politics. That's something that you have to take into consideration, because there's most likely a lot of locker rooms that potentially could be divided, and not just between players, but between players and coaches. So priority number one for a coach in this climate is you've got to let the team know that you have their back, not just standing for what they believe in politically, but simply you have their back in the sense that these are my guys, I love them, I want the best for them. So that's priority number one for a coach. Coach has to transcend politics and find a way to unite a team around each other, regardless of the political climate. So, you know, that's going to be challenging for coaches. And generally, in the NFL especially, it's a lot more difficult to get that chemistry going, especially now that there's a shortened preseason.
You're listening to The Voice here in Hour 1, Jordan Black. Give him a follow on Twitter, at JordanBlack78. NFL alum, he's been on our program many times. I had a prolific career in the NFL, the Redskins, the Jaguars, the Texans, the Chiefs. He's got a new position, new title. He's the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy, making a profound impact on young men's lives. And I know here we are Saturday morning. The Texans-Chiefs game's already been played. We had an opportunity to watch one of your former teams. But just overall, as we step back in this brand new season, what is something, Jordan, that you've been looking forward to the most on the gridiron?
You know, just watching a football game is going to be that's exciting for me. It's been a long time.
Right.
People have been quarantined. We've been cooped up. This, you know, as long as I don't look too hard at the stands, it's almost as if we're getting back to normal. So I think sports, as far as I'm concerned, serves a purpose right now for the morale of the American people. So I just want to watch football and feel normal for a little bit.
Absolutely. And have some good ribs and some good home cooking too, right? You got to have that on game
day.
Right. Okay, talk to me about Deshaun Watson. He got a new deal, a 4-year extension. He's one of the highest paid players in the NFL. I think it was like $160 million. Why do you think it took so long for them to get this deal done?
Well, okay, so definitely he got a new deal. Wow. Incredible. I think with Deshaun, so comparing him with Patrick Mahomes, I think it's an easier situation with Mahomes because he has demonstrated clearly that he can do everything that he needs to do with his arm. With Deshaun, on the other hand, I think he probably does a little bit more with his legs than what Mahomes does. So when you factor that into the equation, you have to consider longevity. And I think the Texans had to wait to a point where they trust that he's smart enough and he's capable of making the right decisions when it comes to running opportunities in the game. So he's got a great arm. He probably does a little bit more than he needs to with his legs. And as fun as he is to watch, it does kind of raise a few red flags where teams are concerned about how will he last in the league? What's his longevity going to be like? And I think they finally got to that point. They trust him, and they're ready to keep him there long term.
Speaking of longevity, okay, so Bill O'Brien, it is his sixth season as the head coach of the Texans. What are your expectations of him?
Yeah, I don't know Bill personally, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of the decisions that he makes. His off-season moves seem bizarre to me. I don't know what all is going on in that locker room, but obviously some players have left here recently that I think we'd be a lot better off with them. So I'm curious to see what he's shooting for here. I'm curious to see how the team feels about their head. I'm curious to see how they feel about O'Brien, considering some of the departures here recently. Do they trust him as a squad? So I'm just trying to figure out what his goal is, and maybe I'll get to see that come to fruition. Maybe he'll be successful with it. I don't know, but I'm still trying to figure the guy out, in all honesty.
NFL alum Jordan Black with us, Sports Map Radio Network. We'd love to connect with you. Join us live on Twitter at eradiosports, info@eradiosports.com. And we are here in the Lone Star State, down here in Houston, but let's head up to Dallas. You know, speaking of quarterbacks, just a moment ago we were talking about Deshaun Watson, but another quarterback here in Texas, he's been waiting a long time for a big deal. Why has Dak not received a contract like that?
Okay, so my theory is, Jerry Jones likes to play general manager, probably more so than he should. He has that right. He owns the team, but I think when you look at quarterbacks that he has been around, and let's start with Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman's work ethic was second to none. He was a leader. You can also look at Tony Romo. He was a leader. He demanded respect. So I think what Jerry is doing is comparing Dak to Troy and to Romo, and I'm thinking it's more of a leadership thing with Dak. Now, this is pure speculation. I think he's wanting Dak to step up and have the leadership qualities of guys like Romo and Aikman. I think that's what he's waiting for.
What a great way to kick off hour one on this Saturday morning. NFL alum, we love when he's on the program. That is Jordan Black. Give him a follow on Twitter, @JordanBlack78. Also, we're wishing you a lot of good luck with your new season getting underway. You're the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy here in Sureland. And we will extend this invitation again. We ran out of time, and we can get a preview on the season. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you, Alyssa.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. We're going to talk some college football with Seth Emerson from The Athletic. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. College football, it is back, and we have got you covered at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience. You can reach us live on Twitter @eradiosports, info@eradiosports.com, and we always like to pause and thank the folks that make it happen at our network, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't let a bad battery get you stranded or leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low, low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, our focus in our next interview, it is time to talk some college football, and we're going to zero in on the SEC and the Georgia Bulldogs. The writer from The Athletic, Seth Emerson, is joining us. And you know what? He's been working really hard. He has just released his new book with Triumph Books. It is titled Attack the Day, Kirby Smart, and Georgia's Return to Glory. It is Seth's first time on my program. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Expectations are always sky high when you talk about Georgia. They're always one of the best teams in the country. What is the biggest storyline for the 2020 season?
Oh, I mean, it comes back to offense, quarterback and offense, and this was supposed to be the year that Georgia really got into the 21st century with its offense by hiring Todd Monken, who has a reputation of airing things out a little bit more and opening things up, and I still think they're going to do that, but they were also supposed to have a real dual-threat quarterback in Jamie Newman, and with him opting out recently, it's more likely going to go to JT Daniels, the transfer from Southern California, who's more of a pocket quarterback, although there's an outside chance it could be Dwan Mathis, who is more of a dual-threat quarterback. So the offense is the main story, but if Georgia wins a national championship this year, it's probably going to be because of the defense, which is expected to be really good again.
Well, one of the reasons that expectations are always so high is that Georgia has tremendous talent across the board. I mean, last year, the Bulldogs finished 12-2, 7-1 in the SEC for second, and their final national ranking was fourth. They have reloaded. Who are some of those key contributors that we can look forward to as college football fans?
Starting around on offense, the first two names that jump out are George Pickens, receiver, who is probably the best receiver they've had here since A.J. Green, and might be as good, which, I don't say that lightly. He just needs to keep himself on the field. That is an issue last year. But then Zamir White, running back, is just the latest in this illustrious run of tailbacks that Georgia has had over the last 10, 15 years. You can go all the way back further than that, obviously. James Cook, another running back, who I think is going to be part of a tandem with Zamir White. And we mentioned what's going on at quarterbacks, but, you know, the thing on defense is that they don't have that star right now. They just do it by being so deep and not having any weaknesses and being so deep that they can rotate players in and out. But they've got some guys that could really emerge this year on defense. Azeez Ojulari, outside linebacker, Jordan Davis at nose tackle, and Richard LeCount at safety. Plus, I mean, you know what? The more I start to name guys on defense, The more I realize I don't want to drone on and on. Just trust me, there's a lot of guys.
Hey, Seth Emerson from The Athletic, he has a new book out, Attack the Day, Kirby Smart and the Georgia's Return to Glory. Seth is joining us, and we're giving a little bit of a preview of what we can anticipate for the brand new season. So, you know, you had just mentioned talking about defense. Why are the Bulldogs so good defensively year in and year out?
You know, it actually kind of snuck up on me last year, and I think it snuck up on a lot of people. They weren't expected to be that good because they lost some really good players on defense. But I think it comes down to recruiting. This is a program that has – last year they had the number one recruiting class. The year before that, I think it was number two. And then the year before that, number three. And the year before that, number one. And the classes before that weren't that shabby either. So you have four straight classes ranked in the top three. You combine that with Kirby Smart and his bona fides as a defensive coordinator from the Alabama days, and he keeps making good hires on the defensive staff. He tends to hire kind of young and up-and-coming guys. And they just have a really good mix there on defense. It's the kind of thing that they're looking for on offense now this year.
You know, as we step back and kind of look at this college football season, we're all adapting to the year of the new abnormal. Does this feel like a real season? I mean, you've got the Big Ten, the Pac-12, what the Mountain West Conference that will not be participating. Yeah. I mean, what does it feel like to you?
Ask me sometime in October once things are getting going, and ask me come like the end of the season because things are still so fluid. I mean, I'm trying not to get too overconfident because I don't want to jinx it. And those of us in the South probably shouldn't get too smug about we're playing football here and they're not in the Big Ten and Pac-12 area because, again, you don't want to jinx it. It seems like we're at a point now where I don't know what it would take for the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 not to play at this point. It would take something that we don't want to even bring up and discuss, something really calamitous. But I want to know whether the Big Ten and maybe even the Pac-12 decide to inch their way back in the conversation and whether that results in trying to still salvage some sort of universal playoff at the end of this year. I think there's going to come a point in October, maybe even late September, where it becomes obvious that that can't happen. So it's still like a 5 or 10% chance. But, I mean, you've probably discussed this on your show, but clearly what happened when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceled was they expected everyone else to also.
Right.
But then they didn't. And the further this has gone on, the more, like, you know, Miami and UAB played Thursday night. ACC's getting going. Big 12's getting going. SEC is the last to go September 26th. But the further this goes, the more the Big Ten and the Pac-12 seem to be looking around going, huh, boy, did we miscalculate here. So if something can come together where everyone can play, I think it's a real season. It just looks a lot different.
We are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network. Seth Emerson from The Athletic is our very special guest. Give him a follow on Twitter at Seth W. Emerson. And I know you just said, you know, you don't want to jinx the season because there are some key contributors as far as teams or participators that will not be playing this year. But in your mind, I mean, can the Bulldogs, can they win it all?
Win big? I think they can win it all. They've got the defense. It's a matter of whether the offense comes together. And in Todd Monken, they have an offensive coordinator who you just look at his resume and you say, you know, he's been successful every time he's been the one calling the shots. He wasn't with the Cleveland Browns last year, which, you know, the Cleveland Browns have had a lot of struggles anyway, so not just him. But it comes back to quarterback. I think their offensive line's still going to be good, even though they lost a bunch of people. Their running backs should be strong. It's going to come down to the passing game and how much of a threat that is. And they can. I wouldn't pick Georgia to do it necessarily. I think Clemson is going to have such a kind of clear shot at it. But I think Alabama has some questions, just like Georgia has some questions. So I would tend to think that those are going to be the two teams that are going to meet again in the SEC championship. And then we'll go from there. But, it's hard to pick anyone but Clemson to win it all.
The SEC opens up September 26th. Georgia will be on the road at Arkansas. Let's move ahead now and shine the spotlight on Seth Emerson's brand new book, Attack the Day. Check that out anywhere online. So when our listeners open it up, what are they going to find in this particular read?
So I did not want this to be a rehash of my game stories covering this team, you know, and a rehash of just stories that have been written already. So now I do think that there's some benefit in that, because I think the last 5 years of the Georgia football program, and I go back to 2015 with a little bit of background on Kirby Smart and the Georgia program in general before that. But basically, we start in 2015 when Mark Richt is the head coach, and it ends up being his last year. And then that set up the Kirby Smart era, and we go through the Kirby Smart era so far. And I think there's a lot of interesting stories that when you put it all together in one book, it's interesting to read everything and how it came together. But I didn't want this to just be something I wrote from my basement, you know, off my memories and notes and whatever. So I went back and I interviewed players, coaches, staff members who have been with this program 2015, 16, 17, even 18, and blend that with my own kind of vantage point as being here every day and covering this program every day. I hope it's a good insight into a Georgia program that a lot of people thought should be a year-in, year-out national power, but wasn't quite, into how Kirby Smart made it what a lot of people have always thought it should be.
Well, Kirby Smart has made an immediate impact with this program. We are running out of time. Just quickly kind of summarize, how has he dominated recruiting? What, he just had the number one recruiting class in the country, correct?
Yeah, and four straight years of number top three rankings. There, I have a chapter there that goes into a little bit more detail on the things they do. Shane Beamer, now at Oklahoma, Rusty Manziel, a recruiting guru, and then they offer some insights that I don't think have been mentioned before about specifics on how he does it. But Kirby does it by, number one, he's got a great sheer personality for recruiting, and he likes it, and he's tireless about it. Coaches talk to me about getting texts from him like all 24 hours of the day that have to do with recruiting. They recruit very early. They make it their lifeblood. They make it the focus, and that's the main reason that they're that successful.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating read. Seth Emerson is the author. You can also check him out online, The Athletic. He is the staff writer. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Seth Emerson. And his brand new book, titled Attack the Day, Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. Our good friends at Triumph Books is the publisher. Congratulations, Seth. I know you worked super hard. And we look forward to another conversation. College football, it's back, and we're so glad. Thank you, Seth.
I would love that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1. Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to talk some PGA news and notes with former PGA Tour player Patrick Larry Miller.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Hey, mark it down and join us every Saturday from 11 to 1 Eastern Time. We are so thrilled to be a part of the Sports Map Radio weekend lineup, and we're also thrilled that we have such amazing sponsors. So don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low, low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And you know what? If you are just joining us for the first time on our network, on our program, we pride ourselves on delivering the biggest and best in sports, and we've got some amazing guests throughout our two-hour time slot. So right now, let's pivot, and let's get ready to tee it up, because we love talking PGA news and notes. The Safeway Open, it is underway, and we've got you covered here in Hour 1. So thrilled to have back on the program, and I'm really excited to learn more about their big road trip to Colorado. He had the opportunity to play some very special courses. Of course, we're talking about the former PGA Tour player and author Larry Miller. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful weather for golf now, finally. We got some dry fairways here and for a change and getting a little bit of roll with our tee shots.
Absolutely. Well, let's back up just a minute before we kind of look ahead and preview even the new PGA Tour season, 2021. Tell us about that amazing vacation that you and your wife Connie had in Vail, Colorado. From what I understand, you guys had a chance to play some really cool courses.
Yeah, you know, every year, it's about fourth or fifth year in a row, we go up there just to play golf, four couples, and two of the girls don't play, so they go do the spa and go shopping. But the rest of us play golf every day. So, yeah, I played six, seven straight days. And but, you know, you get kind of traumatized by it when you're from a place like New Orleans and maybe even Houston there. But, you know, it's so flat here. And all of a sudden, you're playing these golf courses where it's just there's not a flat spot on the golf course. I mean, literally, not a level spot on some of these courses we played. And so, you know, you forget when I was playing the tour and playing all over the country and everything, you become well acquainted with all those subtleties of those different kinds of lies and uphill and downhill and side hill lies. And you learn how to deal with it and how to adjust for it. But after years of playing at sea level here in New Orleans, you know, I go up there every year and it's a humbling experience because you kind of forget all those little subtleties about how to play those shots from those stances. And so anyway, by the time the thing's over, then you're kind of reacquainted with it. You get used to it. And now we're back to the flat land. And boy, what a relief it is to have flat ground. But we played some great golf courses, Cordillera up there near Vail and Frost Creek, which is a little west of Vail, and two fabulous courses. We played Red Sky Ranch, which is great. It's where Larry Rinker teaches. We played Breckenridge, and we played Eagle Vail. So anyway, we had a lineup of some great courses, all in pristine condition. And funny thing is, 2 days after we left, they had 3 inches of snow. And that Canadian front went down and dumped a bunch of snow and cold weather on it. But we hit it just right. You know, we got it there at just the right time, and we had wonderful weather and had a great time. It's always fun. and to relearn how to play all those different shots.
You know, Larry, you mentioned Vail and Breckenridge, Colorado. I understand that the Redlands Mesa Golf Club in Grand Junction, Colorado, is supposed to be really, really special. And it's so true. I mean, Colorado has some of the most beautiful golf courses in the world. I mean, it really is a slice of heaven. How hard is it to not be seduced by just the backdrop and the settings and trying to stay focused when you're out there playing? Because there's so much to take in, and it's so majestic.
Yeah, it is so spectacular. I mean, everywhere you look, it's just a postcard picture. And, yeah, it's easy to get distracted by it. And especially, you know, especially, like I said, coming from New Orleans, where everything is just completely flat and unspectacular, and all of a sudden you've got this around you. But the courses are, I'll tell you, it's a shame that they have such a short season, because the courses are great and the condition of the courses are fabulous. The greens are much faster typically than they are, you know, in our part of the country. And so you get used to that too. But I like fast greens. I've always been kind of a lag putter, so I like it when it's real fast. But you're right. The scenery is just, you know, just incredible everywhere you look. And but it's hard to deal with those stances and those different lies. It's you know, you have to accept bogeys gracefully.
How big of an adjustment is it going from Bermuda to bent grass greens up in Colorado?
Yeah, well, for me, like I said, for me, I like it because I'm not an aggressive charge putter. I've always been kind of a dive at the hole putter. And so the fast greens I love because I can just stroke it without being too aggressive and going too far past. But for some of the guys, you know, the group I go with, some of them are, you know, 4, 5, 6 handicaps, and some are 15s and 16s, and some of them struggle with that. You know, the first couple of greens, they knock the ball 20 feet past. You know, they think they're back on Bermuda, but they adjust pretty fast. But it is quite different. But the fairways are so much more lush in that part of the country. Very, very. You have good lies all the time. You never have a bad lie. Trouble is, they're not level, and you have to on the ball below your feet, you got to get more knee flex, you know, and stay down with it. And, you know, ball above your feet, you know, you got to realize it's going to usually go a little left, so you aim a little right. And, you know, there's a lot of adjustments that are necessary when you start playing those hills like that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com. You are dialed in and tuning in to the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. We love our listeners. We love our audience. Join us on Twitter, always live. Good stuff there. At eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com. And our very special guest who joins us every week is former PGA pro and author Larry Miller. We're talking about mountain golf. He just got back from Colorado, but did you know my youngest son Eli Walker Campbell and I, we just returned from Big Sky, Montana, my home state, and he had his first experience with mountain golf. And it's interesting kind of listening to you talk about the adjustments that have to take place with the elevation, the different grasses, the greens, the rough, the fairway. It can be difficult, but you know what, Larry? It can also be thrilling to watch because Eli, he was hitting some big bombs, and he smoked his 3-wood. I'm gonna brag on him. Smoked his 3-wood, 330, and it was exhilarating.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's great experience for him, for any young, you know, aspiring player to experience the different terrains and the different elevation changes. It's tremendous experience because that's what they're going to face when they start playing college tournaments and then beyond that. So it's really good to get exposed to that early on and learn how to deal with it. And it really, you know, it just increases your repertoire of shot making ability. You know, it's not something you're going to have to learn later and lose some time. So that's great experience for Eli. I'm glad he got to experience that. It can be frustrating at first when you're learning how to deal with it, but it's very, very valuable experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your home state, you and Connie, as you mentioned, New Orleans, you're from Louisiana. The topography, obviously, is very, very different in Colorado. How did you guys prepare? You know, give our listeners some tips on how do you prepare for playing in high elevation and playing in the mountains?
Well, you know, the other thing that I didn't mention is the fact, you know, we were in Vail, which is 8,200 feet elevation. And one of the things is that you can easily become winded with the thin air up there. You know, it's like when the football teams go to Denver and play the Broncos. They have to prepare.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a good idea to take, a week before you go up to something like that is to take every day, take 10 or 15 deep breaths, get your lungs really expanded and kind of strengthen your lungs a little bit so that you're not, when you get up there, you don't get as winded. And you have to slow your pace a little bit, too. You don't want to walk as fast. Try to do everything a little bit slower. Because your metabolism, it changes, and if you try to do things too quickly, walk too fast, it's real easy to get winded and get fatigued. And of course, in golf, people don't realize it, but when you start fatiguing in golf physically, then you fatigue mentally, and you start making mistakes. You're not as clear-headed. So it's a really good idea to strengthen your lungs. It's a trick I learned a long time ago when I was on the tour, and I do it. I actually do it twice a day. I take very deep breaths through my nose and exhale through the mouth. And I try to fill my lungs up and then empty them out. And what that does is it expands and strengthens your lungs so that the effect is not nearly as great as it would be if you didn't do that.
I got to ask you a quick question. You know, you were talking about earlier putting on mountain courses. How do you read the green, the slope, the speed? I mean, it takes a while to figure out. And what about the wind? How much does that impact the break in a putt? Because it was really windy at Big Sky.
Yeah, the wind definitely affects putts, especially on fast greens, because there's, the ball doesn't settle into the grass as much. It's sitting more on the surface. And so the wind really has a big effect on putts, on fast greens especially. Not so much on slow greens, but in competition, you're not going to play many slow greens. But you get on real quick ones, though. You need to consider the wind. And then the other thing is that when you're in the mountains like that, the ball will tend to break away from the mountain, even though it doesn't look like it.
That's right.
Sometimes.
Yep. Uh-huh.
What you have to do is you have to look at the general terrain, not just specifically where your ball is, but you look all around you and kind of get a sense of where downhill. The thing you have to do is determine where downhill is. And, a trick that Lee Trevino showed my roommate and I one day was, try to stand near the cup somewhere and imagine you're pouring a bucket of water onto the green and kind of visualize where that water would run to when you pour it out. That'll give you a sense of where downhill is. And once you know where downhill is, then you can, play the appropriate break for that if you're hitting into the hill or with it or uphill or from side to side. If you know where downhill is, it gives you a really good idea which way the putt's going to break. But typically, it'll break away from the mountains, just like when you're near a big ocean in the Pacific or Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico. It'll tend to break toward the water, generally. So that's some tips that you can do. But you do have to consider the whole surrounding area of terrain, not just where your ball is.
Former PGA Pro author Larry Miller with us, Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com. On a super windy day and you're putting, does your grip pressure, does that change?
Yeah, you never want to grip the putter too firmly. It's bad because the tension, a lot of times you'll come up short and make a short abbreviated stroke if you have too much tension in your hands on the putter. Or your wrists or your forearms, it's a good idea to kind of shake out your arms a little bit before you putt and try to feel like, you want to have a secure grip on the club. You don't want it to where it's going to twist in your hands, but at the same time, you don't want to white knuckle it, like when you're on an airplane in heavy turbulence.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging onto the seat. You don't white knuckle it putting because that tension will make you make an abbreviated stroke and you'll come up short half the time or miss hit the putt. So just have a secure hold, but be relaxed with your wrists and your forearms and your fingers, and you'll stroke the ball much better and roll it a lot better.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network. Right now, we're going to go back inside the ropes and visit with former PGA Pro Larry Miller. Okay, so let's transition. Let's get to some PGA news and notes. And Justin Thomas on Wednesday was named the PGA Player of the Year. Agree or disagree? And it is not a subjective vote. It's based on what points for victories and moneyless standings and a scoring average.
You know, my vote goes to Dustin Johnson, and I'll tell you why. Not just because of his dominating last few weeks, which was very dominating, but Dustin Johnson, when he, I think he's a better closer than Justin Thomas is. When he smells the lead and smells the win, he usually gets it. He knows how to close, just like Tiger used to do. Justin Thomas, he's had a lot of tournaments where he faded near the end. And I don't think he's quite as good a closer as DJ is. And winning that tour championship, he's playing against the 30 best all year and pretty much dominated that tournament. I'm not diminishing Justin Thomas's ability or his year, but I just think, to me, Dustin Johnson right now at this moment in time, I think he's the best player in the world right mm-hmm. now. When he's making putts, the guy is really hard to beat. And you can say that for just about, you know, five or six of them. You can say it about John Rahm, about McIlroy, about Justin Thomas. When all facets of their games are clicking, pretty hard to beat those guys. And it just happens that DJ's clicking on all cylinders right now. And he has been for weeks. And so judging by that, by the way he ended the year and the way he closes tournaments, my vote would go to him.
Yes.
It's close. It's very close, but I'd vote for him.
Well, Dustin has dominated, as you're talking about. He's dominated the tour since he returned in June and winning all three of his championships. And I personally thought that he would be the runaway player of the year. I actually was stunned. So we are flat out of time. We're going to continue this conversation because I almost feel like Justin Thomas being named as the player of the year is as controversial maybe as last season when the players overlooked Brooks Koepka. The PGA, they voted in favor of Rory McIlroy. So we'll get into that discussion. But always a true pleasure when Larry Miller, former PGA Pro author, is with us. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. You can hear him. He's on the range right now. He's gearing up for a big weekend in golf. And Larry, always a true pleasure. Send my best to Connie. We'll talk here soon.
Yep, talk some golf next week. All right.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.